Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your love and comfort and the direction you give us throughout this life. In these days, there are so many exciting times as we see the end of the age getting closer. Yes, Lord, we see what is going on around us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Last week, a fellow asked me if I knew what time it was, but I did not have my phone with me, and so I said I couldn't tell him. And I thought back to 40 years before that, when I always had a wristwatch, and I could always tell what time it was. Well, gone are those days. And I thought about how in the Bible there is signs of the times mentioned in Matthew 16:3, and I thought of the men of Issachar who were able to tell the days and the times. That was in 1 Chronicles 12:32, and I thought of how here we are in the last days, and we are put here for a time such as this. And I thought about time. Time is not the same for us and for God. You see, these are the last days, and we think of things we know are going to come about because it's in the Bible. And so we expect things to happen just any day now. But time is different for God, and we just have to understand things from God's point of view as we pray and ask Him for understanding. And I am thankful that the time has gone by slowly for so many people like me, and that has given me enough time to learn about Jesus Christ, how He is my Savior, and how now I belong to Him. And now there is even more time for us at the end of the age for us to speak to other people about Jesus Christ. We have family members who need to know and follow Jesus. We have people that we are around every day. Some of them need to know Jesus also. And then there's some people who we just might not like, or we might have a problem with them, but they also need to know Jesus. So somehow we get to think about how we can tell people about Jesus, and it might be by our testimony, or it might be the testimony of other people. And I think of people who have had a supernatural experience regarding heaven or hell. Now, the ones of hell I'm thinking of right now, I think of Bill Weiss. He gave a really good description of his vision. It was a supernatural experience of hell, and how hell is a terrible and everlasting place. And if you look into it, you just might get motivated to tell more people about Jesus, how they can be saved from hell. And then you know it is something that people will want to avoid so greatly that they will do what they need to do to avoid hell. And that means follow Jesus. Live a life that is born again according to Jesus Christ. And do look up Bill Weiss, because he had a great testimony, and there are a few other people who have had a great testimony as well about their experience of getting close to or kind of into hell. Now, you can look it up. You can look it up and see the testimonies. There are some good and powerful testimonies. It is worth looking into, because there is truth. It's Bible truth, and it is available for you to tell people about as we go through life, and we want to have this knowledge to help us to reach people for Jesus Christ, and to make that decision of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, often in life, we do need a little help, and we ask people for help. We might have a banker, a broker, an attorney, or somebody who knows mechanical things, and we ask them for help in what we are dealing with, because It's their field of study. And so, we might want to look things up for our own self so we have more information and we are able to talk to people about Jesus or about heaven and hell. It's something that is important to us because we're a follower of Jesus Christ. And he spoke about heaven and hell. So, as an example, we could also learn to talk about heaven and hell. And do it now. Do it now while you are alive and you have the ability to speak to people around you. We have things that are showing themselves to us, and we can learn about them and again speak to other people about Jesus Christ and avoiding hell. Yep, let's go to heaven. And we want to have an eternity in heaven, and therefore we tell people about Jesus. And that's what we do, because we love people, and of course we love God, and we are told by God how we can live according to his will. Now, there's people that we listen to because they have knowledge, and if we have knowledge, we can talk to people about that too. And as you know, sometime we talk to a young person and we wish they had more knowledge. Or we talk to an older person and they have lots of things to say. I think of 1 Kings 12:11, where there was a young new king. He was probably a teenager. And he said about his workers that his father whipped the servants, the workers, and the father whipped the servants with whips, but that he would whip the servants with scorpions. And I thought about how Jeroboam the son was not paying attention to the lessons in life. Now, he did ask the fellows he knew, but they were all young also. So there's things that we can learn when we go through life a little bit, and that's why it's good to talk to people also. Now we have a situation, let me just say about Jeroboam. You see, he had some decisions that were not the best, and he did actually divide Israel so that the way he saw it was he would make it easier for people to worship by having two locations to worship God. But it didn't turn out to be a good thing for Israel. And anyway, we get these patterns in life and in history, and we ought to be learning from them. I think the principle here is don't divide Israel. And nowadays, there are people who want to divide Israel. So I'm sure there will be consequences as that gets closer and closer. Now, we have a world with so much going on. We have what you would call good and evil going on. We have people that we want to support in the world and people who we do not want to support. And I'm thinking in particular of the United States government. And, of course, the governments that oppose the United States, like China. And China has a communist president. It's their system of politics, the Chinese Communist Party. And they are having a plan about how to reunite China and Taiwan. That is one of their goals. They wanted to do that with Hong Kong and pretty much did. So we have things going on that are a tension in the world. And that tension is causing a division even in China, where many of the political people want to join Taiwan and mainland China. But there's a little controversy there because many of the military people do not think that China would win if there was a military confrontation between China and a coalition of United States, Japan, and Taiwan. So we have the things going on which are in our world around us, and they are making tensions. And we have a world system that is getting ready to form, and it will be a new system and a new, well, I think it'll be a new world order. But we have some problems to get through first as companies and governments try to form a new system. And that's going on, too, with the situation in the United States and China with manufacturing. And where will the manufacturing plants locate? See, manufacturing is always a profitable thing for companies, but United States has spent decades of outsourcing our manufacturing, especially to China, but also Mexico and India. And now we have a president of United States who wants to bring manufacturing back to mainland United States. It's making a little difficulty throughout the world. And companies are seeing that difficulty, and they are also understanding what happens when you deal with a communist government in China. Because the companies that have had manufacturing located in China are finding out that they put money into China, but they cannot get their money out of China. And so there's just one little problem after another, and people are liking the free capitalist economy of America. And it's all working itself out with some conflict, and obviously there's some agreement. But China does have problems right now, and as I said, one of them was what would happen if there was a military takeover of Taiwan. And what would United States, Japan, and Taiwan do about that? Questions that we have: what will the future hold, especially with other conflict in the world? Other conflict, like right now, there is a question of what will happen with United States and Iran. And you have a question of Russia and Ukraine. There's just tensions going on all over the place with other countries, including Israel. And we have a chance to be involved in conflict or stay out of conflict as a country. The trouble is, rulers have wishes also, whether that ruler is the president of China, the president of Russia, or the president of USA, or some other president of Mexico or another country. These people have their own ideas, and they're following them. And we have to make sure that with all the tensions that are going on, we want to be able to remain free within our own country. And we want to be able to teach our children about freedom. Freedom to worship God as we see our worship. And that's been a part of the conflict in the United States since its very beginning. Now, we see conflict all around us, and we try to figure out what to do about it because, well, I just said about how there was Christianity in America, and what happens when people obey the Christian principles and the Bible, and what happens when they do not? Well, there's a passage in Ezekiel 14:13 that talks about what happens when there is persistent unfaithfulness in a land. And then you know what happens. God judges that land. And so we are at a point when the United States, and other countries, could have a judgment by God. And I think of, Thomas Jefferson. And he is quoted as saying, "Our God is a just God, and his justice cannot sleep forever." We had a lot of Christians in the founding of our country. And I think of before the Constitution was written. Especially then we had men of God who wanted to form a Christian nation that would reach out to the world. Takes a little bit of study. And unfortunately, we have a school system that teaches that our nation was not a Christian nation. But if you look into the history, you can see that there are such strong Christian roots when it came to agreements, or they called them compacts, like the Mayflower conflict, the Mayflower compact. And it was an agreement that the people on the Mayflower agreed to before they landed in America. And there have been other compacts or agreements which reflect on the United States of America, well, at that time, America, being a place of Christianity and freedom. So we have the things that are going on, and we need to look for ourselves and make sure that we understand what the Christian and American principles are about. So another thing that Thomas Jefferson said, I'm not going to get the quote, but he said that if a man walks carrying a gun, then he gets physical exercise and it strengthens his mind with boldness and enterprise and independence. And I just thought that was interesting how the people who were founders of the country and the ones who were, for instance, pilgrims or before the Constitution was written, they all were liberty-loving men, and they embodied that love of liberty in their writings. That's our American heritage, the love of liberty, and that has continued all through America, from the American Civil War to World Wars I and II, where American soldiers fought to give liberty to other people of other countries. And it cost American lives and American money. But that is what happens when there are people who want to promote the liberty of God. Because there were plenty of Christian patriots who loved liberty. And we learn that when we search history. Of course, in history, there were both sides, people who loved Christ and people who did not. And that's something which we search out as we search American history. And we can see the advantages of following Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to do. Become followers of Jesus Christ. And that is a concept that we can gain from our American liberty. It does make me concerned that fewer and fewer people are understanding that, and a part of it is the school system that teaches one part of American history and not the other. Well, for instance, they say that America was not a Christian nation. Well, that is a concept that has been later, but not among what I have read. Not easy to search it all out, but that's what we do. And right now we have people who come to America for freedom, and all the migrants who have come to America, they say they come for the freedom. I suppose it's true, but it also could be that they come for the benefits. And I don't know which are which, but there are 50 million people. Well, there again, we don't know for sure because it was never kept track officially. But there are people like Michael Leon and J.J. Carroll who said that there are about 50 million migrants who have come to the United States in the last few years. And that would increase the U.S. population by about 15%. That is notable to have Americans here who do not know the heritage of American. And now what is going on? Well, there are efforts to remove these people from America. Interesting, interesting. We will see what we see. I think of how important it is to be a responsible person under a Christian understanding of responsibility. And that's what John Adams said too. He said that America and its constitution was fit for Christian people. Well, there we go. You study it or you don't, and you have a concept of either what you are willing to hold on to or what you are willing to let go of. And that is one of the big concerns about what our education system is teaching in the schools. We have people who are accustomed. So we have shortages going on. We have difficulties in America. We have a supply chain difficulty that is going on, yes, with China, and yes, with other countries as well. So we have a population that has been accustomed to simply purchasing everything they wanted and needed whenever they wanted it or needed it. And now we are having a supply issue where American people are not being able to buy what they would like or need. So we're trying to solve that problem. And one way to solve the problem is to return manufacturing to America. And another thing that would do is that would give people good jobs. And we get to see where this is all going to head. Where is it going to go? Where is it going to end up? Well, we have an uncertainty in the land of America. And things are changing. We have a changing world system and a changing economic system in America where there have been people who want to create a digital currency and not use paper money anymore. We can argue about why that is, but we know that if you use paper currency, there is a freedom of having what you can buy freely and without identification. But if you have digital currency, then everything is tied to the person, and everything can be known through the blockchain technology. And what does that mean? It means if our government is good and free, it won't make any difference. But if our government turns out to be a tyrannical government or a government that wants to control the people, then we will no longer be free. And we see that there is a change in the works right now. The thing is we don't know how it will end up. And it's something that we Americans who want to hold on to our heritage of freedom will struggle to keep it. We might even fight to keep it. I don't know. But the people who are accustomed to being controlled and limited, they won't fight very hard to keep it because they don't know it in their history. And that's one issue with having so many migrants that have come to America. It may be a slow change or even a slow monetary change where we give up our dollar and we have digital dollars. The thing is we are at a time of change. And a part of the change is that the dollar is losing its value. If you remember, well, I remember the old days, let's just say 50 years ago, when you could buy a gallon of gas for 30 cents a gallon, or you could buy coffee for 25 cents a pound, or you could buy cans of food for between 10 cents and 25 cents a can. And that was normal. That's what everything cost. Of course, the other part of it was that people's wages might have only been a dollar an hour. They might have been more, but that's kind of the concern about it. What will our money buy, and what are we able to afford on the wage we have, whether it's a dollar or two or $10 an hour, or now $20 an hour? It's a matter of what is going on, and we can be sure that whatever is going on, we are going to have inflation. So keep that in mind for your retirement, and how it is important to have a form of savings, whether it is in your home or a bank account or a retirement fund. I just read about a federal worker who was complaining because the situation was that their retirement was going to go down from $5,000 a month to $3,000 a month. And I thought, wow, that is a privileged retirement. And I thought about all the people that I know who talk about their retirement being in the neighborhood of $1,300 a month. And that's what commonly Social Security is. That's the average, $1,330 a month. And then you think about what the migrants coming into the country somehow received was $1,000 more per month in benefits. It's a very interesting situation, and we are facing a challenging time in every way for our society, for our government, and for the money system. It is all challenging, and there are people who want to direct it, and they think they know what is best for the country. Well, do you find it better for the country to buy a can of food or a can of soup for 15 or 25 cents a can? Or is it better when it's $2.50 for a can of soup? And the wages? Is $2 better an hour, or is $20 an hour better? Well, it all depends, doesn't it? And that's something that we will do well to look over, to try to figure out, because America is changing in so many ways. Yes, for big inflation, and yes, for how unhappy people are that they can't afford things anymore, including medications. There's so many people who have to decide if they're going to buy the medicine they need, or if they are going to buy food. And as you know, that has been a struggle throughout mankind. If you think back to ancient Rome, they had that happen too, where the citizens were provided a food and a circus for their entertainment. And now today, we have people that get food stamps and they get a free cell phone. So it's kind of the same. Our government is providing something so the people don't revolt. And that is what happened in ancient Rome. Governments around the world are having citizens that are unhappy. And in order to keep them calm and quiet, they are giving out benefits. And it's going to be a challenge to try to figure out the whole system. We have an American president who is trying to figure it out. And, well, I think it's better if he can figure out what to do instead of having a rebellion, a revolution, a new American system. So let's pray for the people who are in charge. And of course, we pray for the pastors, the leaders, the many people who we know, and the people we love, and the people we don't love. Them too. Everybody needs Jesus. And what a wonderful world it would be if people followed a godly example of Jesus Christ. Well, we have expectations in life. Yes, for the people we know, the people around us, and also the people who come from other countries. And some of the people are glad to be here, and some of them are not. And some of them get mad because their expectations are not met. And somehow, we have a volatile situation in the world where people, some, they want to even overthrow the United States government. They want to hate Americans. And this is really going on. And we have to determine how we are going to deal with it. And part of how we deal with it is with unhappy or violent people, we have to be careful in what we do. And that might mean going to the store as a group of 5 or 10 people, just to go to the store and get home safely. And that's what's been happening since ancient days. Call it ancient Israel or ancient Rome or ancient France. I mean, all over ancient Africa, people would travel in groups for their own safety. And that's something we might have to do again as we understand and observe that there is unhappiness and even violence in the countries around us, and even this country. There are examples that we see, and we know we want to be careful. And we also know there have been riots and violence in our country, which the security forces could not contain and control. So we might have to do something about that as we watch what we do and where we go. It's not to be afraid, and it is more a matter of being careful or doing things in groups so that we can still do what we need to do. That's what we want to consider in this time of wars and conflict. They're going on all around us. And indeed, we do have a wonderful and amazing military, but we don't know what the future holds and what the military will be able to do or not do. I'm just thinking of the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, how he talked about the Chinese hypersonic missiles that they could destroy all of the U.S. aircraft carriers in 20 minutes. Now, he did say that. I heard him on a recording say that. Did he really say that, or was that artificial intelligence? Well, Yahoo News recorded it earlier this month, and so I think it's true. But whether it is true or not, or whether it is true or not that the Chinese could destroy U.S. aircraft carriers, well, we have concerns, and we have to discern and determine what we are going to do for our own self. How are we going to preserve ourself and our family? And what does that have to do with Chinese products? Are we going to continue to trade with China? There's certainly questions. And China has several times said that they were going to stop trading with the United States. They would stop shipping anything to the United States. Oh, well, that'll make it kind of difficult the next time you want to repair your car or change your oil. And the military of America will have a hard time also because we get so many things from China. Now, if we do look at the military capacity of China, well, let me say the military, anything that China does and they tell you what the capacity is, it is almost always overrated. And when American goods are rated, they are usually underrated. So I take that into account too when I think of people saying what the Chinese military could do. It might be overrated. And when we talk about what the American military can do, it might be underrated. So consider all these things as we listen to people, even Pete Hegseth, because there are often things different from what we believe, whether we're a regular citizen or a Secretary of Defense. Things are often different. So just keep it in mind, but still do things that are good and safe for you. Because we are living in a changing environment. Our country is changing. The world is changing. And we have some really obvious problems going on. One problem, I think of how approximately 100,000 Americans every year are killed from drug overdoses. And that is a part of why the sanctions or tariffs went into force, is because China refused to stop killing the American people with the fentanyl that has been put into all sorts of drugs. 100,000 Americans approximately every year they die from drug overdoses, and it's primarily the fentanyl. Well, we are in a war, and I think if that was happening to any other country, that country would say there was a war going on, and I think that China is purposely causing the death of hundreds of thousands of Americans. Okay, you get to determine that for yourself, but we do have the things going on, and if you listen, you will hear, just like you would hear the president of China, Xi Jinping, talk about how his military must be prepared for war and even be prepared to die. That's been going on for a few years now, that Xi Jinping has been telling that to his military. And now this month, China's ambassador in Washington, D.C. said, China does not want war, but China was ready to fight to the end. Well, that sounds like they're ready for war. And we have to be careful because we might have a war very quickly. When things start to change, they can develop very quickly, and we could have a whole new situation with all sorts of shortages and even restrictions on what we buy. That could happen quickly, so let's get a little prepared for the just in case. Now, I know there have been simulated war games where China has won the wars with the United States. But that's something which, again, we don't know the whole parameters of the war games. And we ought not underestimate the United States. But there's still some things that we can do because these are what is being talked about. War is being talked about quite actively. So let's get a little bit prepared for war, and how do we do that? Well, just like we would for hard times or natural disasters, we would have water, food, and warmth. We would try to form a community and help each other. Now, that's the basis of anything that is normal. But if we have a war, it would be very easy to have nuclear weapons used. And if there is a nuclear weapon of war, or even a nuclear accident, we ought to be a little prepared for that and have potassium iodide pills in our home. Every home ought to have potassium iodide pills, and that will protect your thyroid gland. That thyroid gland both governs other glands, and it helps you to digest your food. So, if you want to live, you want to eat, and you want that thyroid gland to be working. So I just want to tell you that you want to do what you can to protect your thyroid gland with potassium iodide pills. Now, in Europe, the countries around Russia, those governments have already supplied every household with potassium iodide pills. And you can be sure that if there was a nuclear conflict evident, every bit of potassium iodide pills would be purchased, and there would be none left for the people who paused, who waited to buy the potassium iodide pills that they wanted. So get your pills now. You might have to get them on the internet. I'm pretty sure you would, but that's something you want to do. There are countries, as I said, in Europe, Norway, Sweden, other countries that have already provided their citizens with potassium iodide pills. And look at France. France is preparing a pamphlet to send to every household in France, warning that their country could be invaded by a foreign military and that there could be wartime conditions in France. Now, other countries have said that too. And all I think we can do is take note that this is going on. And if they're concerned, probably we ought to be concerned also and have some water, food, and provisions for just in case a war or a crisis develops. And we know that if we're prepared, it would also help if there were natural disasters. And there are people who talk about that happening too. You know, there are events going on from volcanoes to earthquakes. And to have equipment or food and water and a sense of community would be very helpful. Have some things on hand in case we do have a crisis. We know that a prepared person survives a crisis much better than an unprepared person. So look into this and get your supplies in order. We are certain that things can happen and we don't know what, but that has been the case for thousands of years. Surprises happen, things we don't expect, whether it is a natural disaster or a war event. And we have things that we want to protect ourselves and our family from. So have a good look at it and do something, because there are always things that have gone on, even war. And in war, there have been captives taken. A lot of people took captives in the older days. The Romans took captives. The Native Americans took captives. People don't want to believe that, but it's true. And if you look on the official records of the Trail of Tears, which went from one part of the United States to the other, the records show that there were 4,000 black Negro slaves that were owned by the Native Americans. So, I just mean it's a very regular thing that people in history have done. And we ought to be prepared for staying free and independent as each one of us wants to be free and independent in every way. So, have a look at that and figure out how you're going to do that. I think one of the things that we do is we have food and water and supplies so that we don't have to go into a camp to feed us. And that's a part of what we do as an independent American. There are businesses around the country that practice, I just talked about slavery, so I was thinking of economic slavery. And there are businesses and governments that want to enslave other people. And that's something we want to be aware of and stay independent by having supplies and food and whatever we need to stay alive. We stay alive so that we're able to speak the word of the gospel to other people. After all, isn't that what we are here for, as a follower of Jesus Christ? He wanted people to know who Jesus is and then how to live according to what Jesus would have you to live. And we do that by reading the Bible. We get more and more understanding. And we try to live in a good and godly, normal society. That's, I think, what we do. That's, I think, what the Bible teaches. But read the Bible yourself and try to understand what it is that God wants you to do. Because you want to belong to God, I'm pretty sure. Because when we belong to God, we get an eternity in that heavenly place. And we certainly don't want to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So have a close look at what God would have you to do. We have a lot of influences and strengths going on in America right now, from cultural to military to all sorts of things that one person or another, one group or another, wants to change, and they want you to be a part of their group. So, again, stay strong and independent. Stay alive. And that's, I think, what you do as you try to be a wise person. You know, there's lots of smart people in the world. A smart person learns from their mistakes, but a wise person learns from the mistakes of others, or they learn from reading. And we do have enemies. We have people who want to enslave us. Oh, I think of John 10:10, where Satan wants to steal you from you, kill you, and destroy even your soul. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And we want to stay free and love God and love our neighbor. So let's try to figure out how we can do it. How do we stay free and in God's will? Well, I think we ponder this question and think about how we can stay free, because our thoughts are the beginning of our actions, and then we work to have freedom. In the midst of this earth, where there is a spiritual war going on, and we know there are weapons of war going on, which can be economic or social or medical, all these things can affect us to be hurting. And we want to be living as free as we can be. And that means read the Bible and get some good Bible principles. Now, the world has had problems all along. And right now, we're looking at something that could turn into stagflation for America, where there is inflation, but the rest of the economy stays about the same. It might decline. It might grow a little bit. But that's what stagflation is, and we had that in the 1970s, and it was a notable problem. So if we have it again, we do want to figure out how we can live through it. And I think the best things to do is to look at examples of the world, and the examples will show us how we can survive stagflation, inflation, a crisis of any kind. Well, people have been through crises before, and let's learn from their examples. It's in history. We can read about it, and we can also read that history book of God called the Bible. That's what we want to do as we go through life, and we don't want to deal with violence that is all around us in this world. So have a look, study it out, and see what you need to do as we have troubles in this life. There are even violent cells, terrorist cells, in this country right now. How many? Well, it depends on who you listen to. But we could have 10,000 or 20,000 terrorist cells that are secret in this country. And we only know the truth partially, but we do know partial truth. And so it is yet another reason to become prepared for the just in case. And I don't know what to tell you to do, because we all have a different idea about how we survive a difficult time. But have a look at it and have a plan. Do what you think is the best to do in a time of trouble. You will be the best person to decide that. And if you listen to other people, they will have lots of ideas too. I have ideas too, and I tell you about them on my preparedness pamphlet. So you can write to me. It's free, and it's just ideas that I hope will help you to think of what you might want to do to stay prepared. You need water, food, warmth. You need some tools. You need a few things, and they're just ideas. But you will do the best if you figure out what you need. So look into it. Take a few minutes and figure out what you need so that you can avoid the pain of life and have the pleasure of life. There are plenty of people who have troubles. They have lots of troubles. And I have seen lots of troubles in the world. I've seen accidents where people have been hurt, where businesses fail, and the people have become unemployed who worked for those businesses. There are big things that are both physical or financial. And there's so many painful things that is why I talk about preparedness, because I don't want people to have a hard time. I want life to go well for them. But there are a few things that you could do so that you have a good and lovely, holy life, and that you have joy in life. But it helps if you think about it first and then make a plan so that you know how to avoid trouble and how to enjoy life. I mean, that's a part of what we do, but most of us don't think it through enough that we make an actual plan. And the plan will help you keep things in order so that you don't get 25 cans of beans and then forget about the rice, or vice versa, or forget that you need toothbrushes, or whatever it is. People have all sorts of needs that they don't think about. And again, that is why you want to have a list of what you want to do to be prepared. Now, there are lists all over the place. You can get them from corporations. You can get them from governments. You can get them from clinics. Many people have an emergency preparedness list. Oh, I guess I do too. So the point is, look it over. Think about it. And do what makes sense to you. So there's all sorts of things that we can guard against, whether it's medical or emotional. Well, for medical, I mean, there's all sorts of things that happen to people with cuts and wounds and burns and strains and blisters on your feet. So there's a few things that are just sensible to do and that you ought to have on hand for just in case you can't go to the store and get what you think you need. Therefore, you will want to have a few things available, preparing for the just in case. And many times, there are professional peoples who think about what to do according to their field, and you may or may not have that ability. So you just do what you can do and make your own list so that you are prepared for a time of trouble. And the trouble is, we don't know what the time of trouble is. We just know that there are things that can happen, and there are basic things we can have, like water, food, and warmth. And then we go from there and have a few more things and a few more things. But write it down so that you don't do things over and over again to get prepared. You know, that would be buying the same thing over and over again. And that is a typical thing that people do. We go back to what the basics are that we remember, but we forget to take the steps and get all the things we want. That's just a common thing that happens with people. So see what you could do to avoid the trouble that seems to be coming away. There, get prepared. And again, we don't know exactly how, but we know there are things that are coming because we're in the world, and the world doesn't change. So serve Jesus for as long as you live, and then enjoy a heavenly place when you go to be with Jesus. That's, I think, wisdom. Get prepared as best you know how. And that, of course, means personally and with business, and that means emotionally and mentally and physically, And of course, as you read the Bible, you will get more ideas. So please do that. Read other things as well. And avoid the troubles in life. That's, I think, what we just do. Prepare now while there is things still available. If you wait until people know that there's a problem, you will find that there's not much available because people have already bought what it is you wish you had. So think about it. Make a list and get prepared. If you would like my list, write me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I'll send you back that preparedness list. Maybe you could send me a stamped self-addressed envelope so I know I have the right address. That would be great. So there are also broadcasts you can listen to in the past if you'd like to hear them. They are at www.christtoday.org. And thank you for today. Thank you for listening. And pray for other people. This is a big thing. Prayers are important. So pray for everybody you can think of, from the people in your family to the people in government to all sorts of people. We will do far better if we pray for people and if they show Christian love of God and their neighbors. See, that's a part of what we want to do also. Pray for other people. Well, God bless you and thank you for today.